Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com.
From Tsunami Sushi in downtown Lafayette, we're Out to Lunch with Christian Mader, editor and publisher of The Current. It's business, Acadiana style.
Welcome to Out to Lunch. I'm Christian Mader. Marketing your new business idea can take a few different shapes. You might take a deep dive with market research to try to define the demographic slice of consumer you're looking for. And in the news business, for instance, we'd call that understanding your audience. Before you even bring your product to the shelves, you'll try to understand the growth potential. How many customers are out there who would want what you're selling? How much disposable income do they have? What services are they already using? It's a way of measuring your potential. And that can be crucial to attracting investors, especially to a new idea and a niche product. But for a lot of entrepreneurs, the very first market test is themselves. My guest, Kelly Hebert, has a background in marketing and runs a media and design company with her husband. But Kelly is here to talk about a feeling we're all familiar with, hangriness. On a long road trip, Kelly got a little hungry and irritable and had a frustrating time finding a place to eat on her route. The experience inspired a search for an easier way, and that led her to Drive, a new travel app that's actually designed for parents. And that's Drive, spelled D-R-Y-V-E, helps them make easier pit stops with streamlined searches for coffee, restaurants, fuel, and more. The idea is to quickly direct parents to what they need with as little distraction as possible. What a mercy. Kelly was born in Zachary and now lives in Baton Rouge. Kelly Hebert, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you.
Not every business idea requires extensive market research or design. Sometimes you just need a gimmick. And before you poo-poo a gimmick, let's face it, everyone in business is trying to stand out, and little stands out more than Santa riding a lawnmower. If you run into that Yuletide vision in Lafayette, you're probably looking at my guest, Santa Sutton. And Santa's idea began as a way of getting noticed. He took his dad's old Santa suit and started riding an electric scooter just to see if he could go viral, and he did. Santa on a scooter became something of a sensation on TikTok, and Santa parlayed that fame into a business, Santa on a Mower. Santa on a Mower is exactly what it sounds like, and it works. Since launching in 2022, Santa has signed on dozens of properties to manage each year. And before that, he worked for 15 years as a chef and was born and raised in Lafayette. Santa Sutton, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Ho, 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 welcome.
So Kelly, I just kind of want to start what I imagine would be your elevator pitch, right? Because when you're describing, you know, a way of searching an area to find a restaurant or a business, I'm sure a lot of people say, well, how is that different than Google Maps? What's your answer to them whenever they bring that to you?
Yeah, well, my answer starts with the question, how do you find food whenever you're on the road?
Me personally, I struggle a lot with Google Maps.
All right, that's it. So then I go into how people find food. They use billboards. They use the blue interstate signs. Yeah. They're on their phones. They're searching Google. They're doing all kinds of things, everything that you can imagine except for looking at their navigation app, which is dangerous. Yeah. And it's confusing that something like this doesn't already exist, but it doesn't.
So talk me through maybe like what a typical search would look like then. So like I'm driving and I open up the app and I say, I want to find, I'm hungry. Let's go back to the original inspiration.
You're hungry. I'm hungry.
So what does that search actually look like?
Yeah. So our navigation app looks like your standard navigation app. It functions like a normal, regular navigation app like Google, like Waze. And what happens that's different is you have a food button, a beautiful food button that is on the side of the screen. And let's say you're on a route. So you have a route plugged in. You're hungry now, right? You want to find something that is like the closest to you, not something 200 miles from now, something right now. You're on a route, you hit the food button, and it brings up a list of options that are in order from nearest to farthest, but they're all close to you, okay? And then so you can hit your option, it automatically plugs it in the route. So really this whole process takes me under 5 seconds for sure. So you would just hit the food button, it plugs it into your route, and your eyes are back on the road, and you're on your way.
So the idea is fundamentally it's easier.
It's way easier.
Yeah, it's easier. Yeah, so Santa, in a way, you did what I think a lot of people would think of the marketing as backward, right? Like you had a brand, and then you found a business to use your brand, right? And so you got sort of Santa on a motorized device is sort of the idea there. And so that kind of has me wondering, like, you land here, I'm going to mow lawns. I mean, had you thought about other applications. Like, would, you know, why not, like, Santa's ice cream truck? You could at least wear the suit, wouldn't be so, you know, hot or something like that. I mean, I guess I want to understand that thought process, how you get from people know who I am, I'm going to use that to start a lawn mowing business instead.
A lawn mowing business has been my dream all my life.
Yeah.
I wanted to start it about 10 years ago, and my family talked me out of it. They thought I wasn't ready for it, and I probably wasn't ready for it back then. And,
yeah.
But nowadays I'm ready for a lawn business, and that's why I started it.
So have you found that as people sort of come to you, I mean, what the customer experience is like in terms of what they sort of expect, and, you know, hiring a guy, you know, whose kind of calling card here is I'm dressed as Santa, right? I mean, you're not saying, you know, I'm sure you're talking about the quality of work and all that, but I mean, you're not saying like, well, my competitive advantage here is I'm really good at shearing bushes, right? You're like, you're saying like, you're paying me to be Santa and mow a lawn.
Basically, yes. But I like it. I mean, when I sit in traffic, this is the whole reason I created it. Like, my logo is Santa Claus on a lawnmower, so on a zero-turn lawnmower, and that's all over my truck. So, like, when I'm sitting in traffic, little kids see it in traffic, and they say, look, Mommy, there's a Santa Claus on a mower.
Mm-hmm.
And those people call me, and I get jobs that way, you know. So,
so it works.
It works. Yeah, I think it's a marketing genius idea, personally.
Well, I mean, if people are signing up for it, it's working. I mean, that's really all there is to it. I mean, so, Kelly, I kind of want to understand a little bit more about the process of developing a product like this. I mean, I think, you know, I've talked to a few app developers over the years, right? And, you know, they usually have a story sort of like yours where there's a problem they want to solve. A lot of folks, I think, like you, don't necessarily come from a background in app development. So how did you sort of, like, get to the visioning side of, well, this is how this thing has to work, which is different. Like, you know, you kind of know the end result that you want, but that's not always an easy thing to do. Say, like, I want to own a lawnmower business. You buy a lawnmower.
Right.
You got a lawnmower business, right?
Yeah. So it is a long process. And so a couple of things had to happen before we started developing the app. The first was we got a membership at the Opportunity Machine for Drive, which is wonderful. And I talk about the Opportunity Machine all the time. I mean, I highly recommend it if anyone has a startup idea. They were just so wonderful in helping me really narrow down the idea to, like, what it was people wanted. I mean, we had a million ideas for what does this app do? And of course, you can imagine people were like, well, it should do this, it should do that, right? So we had to come up with the most important thing, and that was solving the issue of food, finding food fast. So the first thing was getting some people kind of in the mentor role to help narrow down what it was people wanted. So once we found that out, finding the food fast, luckily we own a marketing company that specializes in web and app development. So we have a really wonderful developer on our staff, and that is how most of the app has been developed and is being developed. And so we had a really big advantage with kind of bootstrapping a lot of that and doing it ourselves. And I don't know that a lot of people have access to a developer, you know, at their company, but this was really huge for us and really helped having access to him to kind of help along the way.
Is it the sort of thing where you have to, I mean, like, I'm thinking about navigation and search. I mean, a lot of this stuff is driven by algorithms, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
you talked about, I think, some of the issues a person may have, right, if they're searching in Google Maps is probably mm-hmm. the most common one, right? It's just like that algorithm might generate
yep.
results that you don't really care about,
yeah.
right? And so, like, how do you actually ensure the quality of those results? Like, I don't want to get too far into secret sauce. I mean, I'm sure that's what your product
right,
is.
Right, right. So it's not so much secret sauce as much as it is, like, kind of combining all the right elements and putting them together, right? So we're not doing anything fancy or anything like revolutionary. We're simply putting some pieces together that mm-hmm. that don't currently exist in any of the map platforms.
Yeah.
So yes, it's without getting into the weeds with the development portion of it. Well, we are still developing the app, and it has been really tough and tricky because like I said, we really wanted to find stuff that was in front of you, not behind you, right? Let's not make a U-turn. It has to be within a certain distance off your route. So there were some things that we really had to narrow down, and they're always breaking, right? Because things update, and like you were saying, like the algorithm, it's so many different pieces, and I think we're in a constant state of development. So, yes, there are many pieces to it, and it has been kind of tricky putting them all together, but yes. they're all there. It's just a matter of making it one piece.
Yeah, easy
now.
Easy can be really hard.
I mean,
that's
is.
One thing you've
yeah,
learned in
correct.
Business.
Yeah.
So Santa, I mean, like, I kind of want to talk about that first customer that you get, right? I mean, are people just primarily coming because they're like, they see the novelty of it and they think, I got to get the guy to do it? You mentioned kids, for instance. It brings, you know, I think part of this background, your background story, right, was your own interest in actually spreading joy, right?
It is.
Yeah.
I started out as Santa on a scooter 7 years ago, and I had my dad's Santa suit, and I had an electric scooter, and I decided to ride my electric scooter as Santa to make people laugh and smile. I did it the first year around downtown. The second year I branched out around the College Saloon Ambassador area.
Yeah.
Third year I got on TikTok, and that's where I blew up.
Yeah.
And got TikTok fame. I was actually homeless at the time, living in a lawnmower shed in Broussard. I set out to get TikTok famous because I needed something to do.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting TikTok famous. Then I was hit by a vehicle, a truck, in a hit and run on my bicycle. And through some unfortunate events, but then through more fortunate events, I was able to start Santa on a Mower Lawn Service.
Wait, was it, you said that you were kind of looking for something to do, but was it always the idea that at some point, being Santa on a whatever was going to be something you'd be able to do for a living? I mean, it's one thing to sort of be like, hey, I want to be famous and known on social media. It's another thing to say, I want to do that and turn it into a profession.
A profession. Yeah. And I got a lot of backlash about it from, like, friends and family that, I needed a more realistic dream. And, because I had a dream that, I wanted to make Santa Claus was going to make me money somehow someday.
Yeah.
And they all told me I needed a realistic dream and stuff like that. And I thought my dream was realistic enough, so I was crazy enough to be different in this lucrative lawn business, So that's kind of why I started that. That's why I kind of pursued the Santa thing. And I can actually act like myself, dressed as Santa Claus. I'm 47, I look 37, and I act 27. So that's what I tell people. And so I act a lot younger than I do. So when I put on that Santa suit, I can act like myself, and people love it.
Yeah.
But like, if I'm not wearing my Santa suit and I act like myself, people think I'm crazy.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Christian Mader. I'm talking with Santa Sutton of Santa on a Mower and Kelly Hebert, creator of the Drive app. Kelly, I got to wonder. I mean, look, I think a lot of people go through a period when they're trying something new or they're starting a business where the people around them say, like, you thinking that through? I mean, Kelly, I mean, like, somebody comes to you. Let me back up and ask the question differently. Were you met with some scrutiny about that? Were people kind of like, I don't know. Like, do you really want to start an app? That seems like a big deal. This is not Silicon Valley. Like,
well, I think it's the same kind of hesitation or feelings that people had. I'm not dressing in a Santa. It's not quite as like outlandish, but people were like, well, how is this different, right? That's the first question. How is this different? Why is this different? And aren't you scared someone's going to take the idea or scared that Google is going, or the big players are going to solve this before you do? And you get these things in your head and you have a little bit of doubt, but then you overcome that when you keep going, right? Eventually you're like, no, this is fine. This is working. It's fine. And you keep going. So
what was the moment for you when you felt like, this is working? I mean, I know it's still in development, right? But I mean, like, I've never developed an app. I don't even know what that's like. But I mean, I would imagine there are milestones that you still have to reach where you feel like, hey, this is worth it. Even if we haven't quite yet brought it to market.
You know what it is for me? Yeah. It's every time Google and Waze pushes an update, I'm like, certainly this is it, right? Like, gosh, this is it. They're going to put a useful button on their map instead of like the music button or the whatever buttons they have. This is it. This is it. Like, I'm done. And that was over 2 years ago. So that's not their model. They make money in other places besides their map app. So for me, it's every time they push an update.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, okay, so maybe I need to drill down on that a little bit further. I mean, explain that a little bit more clearly to me, you know, the idea of the button. Like, they're pushing updates, right, and they're saying, we're going to do this. So when I engage with Drive, it's quite that simple. I mean, like, I'm looking for food.
Right.
I press food.
Yeah, that's it.
And you find food.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. I know, it sounds simple. Like, this exists already, right? It doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, see, I know it sounds like, you know, Santa was part of your life to begin with, right? Like, the suit came from your father. I mean, you know, I can understand people saying, like, why do you want to ride around in a scooter being Santa Claus, and your family saying, try to find something else? But it doesn't strike me as particularly outlandish to say, I want to start a lawn mowing business. I mean, why would that be something that was a stretch?
It was just something out of the box. It was something different. And, you know, it's hard for, like, older people to see something, the newer things.
Sure.
Something different. You know, 2024 is a lot different than 2000. And yeah. Surely a lot different than 1980, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, I wanted to do something that was very different. And I wanted, you know, something for marketing. Like, it just, the way I dress and the way when I get employees, I'm going to dress them like elves, you know? It's just my equipment. I name all my equipment after the reindeer. I have Comet and Rudolph right now. You know, most lawn companies number their equipment. I'm going to name mine after reindeer.
Yeah. So, I mean, you were in a position, right? You said that, like, you were looking for something to do. You were living in a lawn shed, right?
Let's go.
But I guess my question would be, how did you get that first lawnmower?
Okay, so I, to be able to live on that lawnmower, on that shed, in that lawnmower shed, I had to buy a lawnmower and keep that property up because the man was going to sell the property.
Yeah.
So I bought I sold a bunch of stuff. I ended up selling my car. The transmission was going on it. I sold the car. I put everything in storage. I paid off storage for a whole year. I bought a lawnmower and bought a bunch of stuff for TikTok, like ring lights and stuff like that, to get on TikTok. And that's how I got started. And then with the lawn business, my first client, who is my, he's a family friend of mine. His name's Uncle Stephen Landry. He has the South College Shopping Center. Him and David Landry, his brother, they have a bunch of properties. And the lawn guy over there, he wasn't doing a good job at all. So I went and talked them into letting me take over their lawns with just a push mower. And so they gave them to me. They gave me 6 yards, and I was push mowing with those yards, and I did everything. I weed-eated with the push mower, I blew with the push mower, and I push mowed. And they watched me do that, and after a couple times, he says, look, I can't let you do that anymore. He says, you're going to wear yourself out, so here's the deal. I'll give you a credit card. You go buy some equipment, and when you make enough money, you can pay me off. Pay me off back. No interest, no strings attached. So I was like, yeah, cool, I'll do that.
Yeah.
So I went and got that. And I bought a bunch of equipment. I didn't have a vehicle at the time. They ended up giving me a trailer to attach to the back of my zero turn. So I started hustling jobs in my neighborhood. And then I got the bravery to go, like, across Johnson Street through the Coliseum into the St. Streets. And I started picking up tons and tons of jobs and landscaping work and stuff like that. And I ended up making enough money to buy a vehicle and buy a truck and buy a little side unit and buy all sorts of stuff and start investing in myself and making my business grow.
So, I mean, you really kind of bootstrapped this thing, is what you're saying. I mean,
absolutely.
A lot of people will sort of combination of bootstrap and family help. I mean, you guys, you're talking about, like, a lot of the investment in an application, right, is going to be the skilled labor, the folks that are actually developing the thing, and, of course, marketing later. You have that developer in your firm, though. I mean, you know, talk to me a little bit about the investment side of it. I mean, are you guys going out looking for seed investors? Is it the sort of thing that where you're going to friends and family first? It's pretty common, you know, in the startup world to start there and say, like, you believe in me, you know who I am, can you help me do this sort of thing? I mean, how's that going for you?
It's a good question, and it has changed. The answer has changed a few times.
Yeah.
So the answer now is that we are pursuing grant funding.
Okay.
So, and what's kind of led me to that has been, well, just the investment climate now. It always changes, and with interest rates and just people not investing in every single business idea that comes across the table. So we are pursuing grant funding now, and one of the things that is really important to me that I didn't realize was so important is that I still have 100% ownership of the company, and the app is I would say, maybe, 80-90% there as far as development goes. And like you, we've been able to bootstrap that and kind of keep all the money or all of the projects in-house. And as far as seeking outside investment, it's not something that we're currently looking to do, but we're not opposed to it. It's just a few things have kind of led to me saying, hey, like, we've gotten this far with us owning and doing this ourselves with lots of help, of course. But let's keep this in-house and let's see how far we can take this with us being 100% owner.
What kind of, you say grants, I would tend to think like nonprofit, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of grants are available for a startup?
So this is another new world that I've recently entered, and there are so many things that the government allocates money for, okay? So the Small Business Association, they have a certain amount of money that they have to give out every year. And some of it can be very broad, and some of it is like very specific. So for example, we are focused on safer driving. So part of what we're looking at are partnerships with the Department of Transportation, maybe on driver safety, but then it can get really, really, really narrowed down to where it's like, hey, we're actually looking for someone to build an app or to develop some product that helps parents find parks or something like this. So, even pivoting the project a little bit may be something that has to be done in order to receive one of these. Another off the wall thing that has come up recently has been with the National Weather Agency. And that was something that came up a lot in the initial development of the app, is we'd really like to be able to see the weather and weather overlay on your route, your parents traveling, like maybe we need to plan our trip around the weather, something like that. So even looking at projects that they're allocating money towards, like in the weather space, has been something that we're looking at. And we don't have that portion layered into the app yet, but those are the types of things that the government says, hey, if you can do XYZ, we will help fund this. So that's in a nutshell.
So generally speaking, government grants.
Mostly federal.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess the advantage there being, if you do receive a grant, they're not buying a stake in the company.
Correct.
And people
it's still
tend
yours.
To think about it, right? Like, oh, yeah. I'd love for this big seed investor, but the other side of that is, now they own 20% of you.
And it's slower. Yeah. And that's the thing, though, is it does happen slower. It's a harder process, I think.
Yeah.
And you really have to find exactly the right project that you'd be applying for, or you're wasting your time. So it's a totally different process.
Santa, have you looked at government projects? I mean, I know it's actually pretty common, right? Like DOTD, the State Department of Transportation, owns lots of properties that need to be mowed, Laughlin Consolidated Government. I mean, they have a program called Mow.
I have looked into that, but the insurance is a lot higher than what I have right now. I'm still a smaller company.
Yeah, sure.
But I do want to get to that point.
Yeah.
I would like to get employees someday and get bigger. I want to grow as much as possible. I've looked into the GoPro program, and like I said, it's a lot of insurance lot to do for like smaller companies like me, and it's maybe not so worth it for smaller companies like me.
Yeah, sure.
That's just from what I've heard from other guys who have done it before.
Right.
So I'm just trying to build my way up there. I'm trying to start from the bottom, very bottom, and work my way to the top.
So, I mean, I have to imagine that this is a seasonal business too, right? I mean, you're mostly getting a lot of jobs in the spring and the summertime, and I mean, does that presumably give you time in the winter to deliver presents to children?
I actually cut all year round. I have commercial properties that I cut 12 months out of the year.
Wow.
And You know, when grass isn't growing, leaves are falling.
Okay.
And when leaves are falling, we have to keep that mulched up and, you know, keep the yards looking nice in prime time as we always do. So, and that's what people don't think about. They think, oh, well, the grass isn't growing, but the leaves are falling. Mm-hmm. And when the leaves are falling, it takes like 2 to 3 times longer to cut the leaves than it does to cut the grass, you know. So that's kind of why we work all year round. We might get 1 month off, but most of the time, if with our contract jobs, we cut all 12 months.
Wow. And so just to clarify, you do have employees now? You're saying we, like, is there...
Oh, no. I mean, me.
Me. Oh, no, okay. Yes, well, you've been talking about that, you know, it was a dream and you could have elves already. I don't know.
Yes. Right? No. That's like, right. Like me and Santa, like we.
Yeah.
So, but,
yeah. Okay. So, I mean, Kelly, I mean, it sounds like you guys are still under development, right? I mean, one question I guess I just generally have that, you know, how do you know then the thing is ready to work? I mean, like, you know, at some point you get beta testers, you put it into the wild. I mean, give me a sense of what this looks like.
Yeah.
When this actually hits the ground running.
So that is the next step. So, like I said, things are always breaking and we're always having to stay on top of the development and making sure that when you hit the food button, it does what it's supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
So that is the most important thing. And so before we put this out into the wild or even before we do our beta testing, we need to make sure that's very solid and that we have the time to allocate to our developer, like making sure that he's on top of that in case there are bugs and things that need fixing, like on the fly. And so as far as the timeline for beta testing, I don't want to give a timeline because we're still sorting out some of the kinks for, you know, making sure that things show up on the route in front of you, not behind you. Important details like that seem pretty simple but aren't.
Yeah.
So that's what we're working on, and we just want to make sure that the very basic things work before we launch it. We're, you know, not doing a whole bunch of bells and whistles. Like you said, it's very simple. Hit the food button, food pops up, you click it, you get there.
Yeah.
So it sounds very easy, but it's not. So.
Well. Yeah. Easy is hard. Succeeding
hard.
In business is
right.
Difficult. Glad to hear you go through finding it. Kelly and Santa, thanks for joining me on Out to Lunch Acadiana.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
My guests on Out to Lunch Acadiana today were Kelly Hebert, creator of the Drive app, and Santa Sutton, better known as Santa on a Mower. We edited this conversation to fit into our time slot here on KRBS, and you can hear our unedited conversation and find out more about Kelly and Santa by listening to the Out to Lunch Acadiana podcast. You can find and subscribe on your podcast app and on our website, itsacadiana.com. If you want to know what we all look like, you can find photos from this show on itsacadiana.com and on our Out to Lunch Acadiana social media. These photos were taken by Aster Morgan, and you can find more of Aster's photos at astermorgan.com. Out to Lunch Acadiana is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsacadiana.com and KRBS 88.7 FM. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Our associate producer is Chad Terrio. Our researcher is Leah Erdialis. And today's show was engineered by Dylan Babineau. I'm Christian Mader. I'm editor of The Current, Lafayette's nonprofit newsroom, and to get the scoop on Lafayette, head to thecurrentla.com and sign up for our free newsletter. We'll see you here next time for more business and conversation on Out to Lunch Acadiana. Bye-bye.
Out to Lunch Acadiana was recorded live over lunch at Tsunami Sushi on Jefferson Street in downtown Lafayette. Tsunami is open Tuesday through Saturday for lunch and dinner, serving sushi, sashimi, salads, and authentic Japanese grilled dishes. Tsunami welcomes casual dining or reservations. More information at servingsushi.com. Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. Mitchell Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can hear Mitchell's music anywhere great jazz is sold or streamed, and at MitchellForeman.com. If you'd like to be part of Out to Lunch, to learn how your business or organization can become an Out to Lunch program partner, email info@inobroadcasting.com.